Hi, welcome to Homefront, and welcome to part three of our series on marital intimacy, body, soul, and spirit. We're glad you got to join us. Again, we had another audio recording problem, so this is being re-recorded for you. We also have the slides for this message. It's going to be available on the same Homefront webpage, restandbible.org/homefront, and you can get the slides, you can get the discussion questions, as well as listen to the audio, which you're already listening to. So let me just kind of rehash where we've been. On week one, we looked at God's design for intimacy, body, soul, and spirit. In week two, we talked about some of the roadblocks or things that can come in that can, like I said, be roadblocks to that intimacy. We used the metaphor of a bridge being washed out, the bridges to intimacy being washed out. And it was kind of a bad news session because we just talked about here are all the different areas in the body, in the soul, in the spirit where we can have roadblocks to intimacy. But we didn't give you any solutions for them. So that was a little bit discouraging. We tried to make it not that way, but we are this week now going to be able to get into removing some of those roadblocks and rebuilding those bridges. So when we started off, we talked about God's design. Right? And we went back to Ephesians 5:31, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. We said that in marriage, we used this diagram that you can see in the slide, this diagram of the body, the soul, and the spirit as concentric rings working in from the outside of the body to the soul, to the spirit, as just a way for us to think about intimacy. We said that pre-marriage, The typical flow is that we're attracted physically, and then we become as we get closer, we become attracted to that person in the soul sense or the life on life sense, the friendship, and then as we get even deeper to the core, then we begin to connect with that person in Christ, in being in the spiritual realm. But we said that when we're married, the healthy thing to do is for that to invert itself, and so that the spiritual intimacy becomes the core, and out of that spiritual intimacy will flow the friendship and will flow the physical intimacy. And we also said that these things work together, so it's not that they just flow in one direction and then they stop. It's a constant back and forth of these things working together, and if any one of the three of them is damaged or is missing, there's going to be an overall lack of health in the marriage. It's going to show up in some of these other places. When we talked about that, the ideal, God's ideal, his plan, we said that intimacy in marriage, according to God's plan, should be characterized by these words. And we broke them up into three parts. We said joy, delight, and desire, and then purity, honor, and faithfulness, and finally romance and self-giving love. We said those are the characteristics that God intends for our marriages to have. And incidentally, or coincident, not coincidentally, but incidentally, those are the things that should characterize the relationship between Christ and the church, right? Which is what our marriages are supposed to reflect. So just an aside. And then after we talked about the ideal, like I said, then we got into which are the bridges that are out or which roadblocks are up in which areas. So we said that there could be bridges out in the body, bridges out in the soul, and bridges out in the spirit. We talked about the way in which those bridges to intimacy might be out, and we listed those out in discussion. You can go back and refer to that if you'd like. But what we're going to do today is we're going to quickly walk through some of the means to repairing some of those damaged bridges or removing some of those roadblocks so that we're not mixing our metaphors here. And we're going to do so in those same categories of body and soul and spirit. And like I said, these correlate back to the roadblocks that we talked about in part two. So you can go back and look at the handout from that, which is going to be available to you online. So let's start with the beginning. Let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. First thing we need to do, as we said in week two, was identify which bridge or bridges are out, and where are they located? Is it the bridge in the spirit, in the soul, or in the body? And some repeat myself that I said last time is that this requires identifying which bridges are out requires both willingness and readiness. Our brother Kevin Kennedy here mentioned use this phrase of requiring willingness and readiness. Willingness is the desire to identify the problem and the desire to begin work on fixing the problem. Readiness is the ability or the capacity to actually fix the problem. We can have all the willingness in the world, but if we don't have readiness, if we don't have the capacity in Christ, in the church, in the Word, if we don't have that readiness, if we've not been trained, then fixing those bridges or removing those roadblocks is going to become impossible. So, step one, like I said, step one is identifying, and then we move into repairing. Once we've identified, then we can move into repairing. But I want you to hang on to something here, and keep this in your mind. I'm putting up here on the slide 2 Corinthians 10:4, which says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." And if you think of those roadblocks in your marriage, in the intimacy of your marriage, whether it's body, soul, or spirit, if you look at those as strongholds, and then you remember that the weapons of our warfare to destroy those strongholds have divine power. We're not talking about a list of to-dos, a 12-step plan, or anything of the like. This is about the Word of God empowered by the Spirit of God living in you. The Word of God is powerful. It's alive and it's active. It discerns our thoughts. It uncovers the intentions of our hearts. And anyone who thinks that the Word isn't applicable to our lives today and to our marriages just simply doesn't know the Word. Okay? So, let's start off with bridge repair in the Spirit. The first thing we're going to talk about is right along those lines of our weapons of our warfare, prayer and confession. Now, you guys have probably all heard that old rhyming statement, the couple that prays together stays together. It's a pretty good statement, actually. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working." You know, Matthew 18, Jesus says, "Where two or more are gathered in my name," right? And the whole idea of whatever you ask will be done for you. If we're not in the habit of regular prayer and confession with our spouse, you know, we're allowing room for pride to grow and to fester, for selfishness to grow and to fester. When we're able to come to our spouse and confess where our struggles are to one another, and to pray for one another openly, to forgive one another, okay? Those, you know, that's healing. And if you can get to that place, it is going to stick a knife in the heart or a stake in the heart of pride in your marriage. So prayer and confession, if you don't have a time that you do it, find a time. Find a time. There seems to be time for everything else in the day. We need to have this time together. This is a key to rebuilding bridges in the spiritual life of your marriage. The second one is this: it's abiding in the Word, right? Abide in me, John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I fear that a lot of us in our marriages, you know, we come to church on Sunday, we take this great big deep breath, and we fill our lungs with the Word of God and with worship, and then we hold our breath the rest of the week. And we think that, you know, man, if I could just make it to next Sunday and I can get another breath. God did not intend for it to be that way. And just like prayer and confession needs to be a part of your regular, your day-to-day life, what's normal, the normal rhythm of your marriage, so does abiding in the Word. When Patricia and I have fallen off or fallen out of our routine of being in the Word together, that very quickly, in a very short period of time, I can tell in my inner spirit, I can tell that there's something off. A friend of mine once said, and I think he was reading from a quote from somebody else. He said, you know, if I don't have my time with God for a day, I know it. If I go 2 days, my wife knows it. If I go more than 2 days, my children and the people that live around me will know it. Because again, just like Jesus said, listen, you cannot bear fruit by yourself. We're not intended to be breath hold Christians. That's not at all what God envisioned for us. So find time to be in the Word together. Now, you know, maybe you've got travel, things like that. Hey, you know, if you're on the same book together and you can have a quick phone call at night and say, hey, I read that first chapter of Acts, or that, you know, the first 12 verses of John 1. Did you read yours? What did you think? And let's talk about it. And then be able to pray together. Again, there are ways to do this, and it's vital to the spiritual health, your spiritual intimacy with one another in your marriage. And if you think, well, you know, I don't even know how to read the Bible, you know, I'm not sure where to start, all those kinds of things, or one or the other of you isn't as much, maybe one of you is more of an academic than the other, and you think that that's important. It's not, first of all. Second of all, you can go and find all kinds of resources online. There's the BibleProject.com. It's got great overviews of every book of the Bible, so you can watch one of those either before or after you read a book of the Bible, just to give you some perspective before you head into it. There's ETS, the Equipping the Saints classes here at Reston Bible Church. There's one on how to engage with the living Word of God. So there's all kinds of opportunities to equip yourself. But abiding in the Word together is vital to the spiritual health of your marriage. Okay, so we've said prayer and confession, abiding in the Word, and then the last one for bridge repair in the Spirit is this, abiding in the body of Christ, not neglecting, here's Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Right? The scripture in Proverbs tells us that iron sharpens iron. We're commanded in the New Testament to bear one another's burdens, to pray for one another, to forgive one another, you know, to edify and exhort one another. How are you going to do the one another's if you aren't with one another? Right? Having fellowship, whether that's your midweek shepherd group, whether it's that and maybe some friends that you get together that can speak truth into your life, that can keep you accountable, that can challenge you. Having that kind of fellowship is critical to you as a couple. And if you don't have it, you need to seek it out like a person in a desert seeks out water. We have family life mentors. If you're looking for fellowship, it can be found. It can be found. So don't give up and don't remain isolated. Isolation is the enemy of your spiritual intimacy in your marriage. And make sure that it's Christian fellowship, okay? Having friends that are non-believers is great because it gives you opportunities to witness to them. However, 1 John 1:3 gives us an idea of what real Christian fellowship looks like, right? 1 John 1:3 says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. And here it goes, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So in order for you to have Christian fellowship, it needs to be with another person who also has fellowship with the Father and the Son through the Spirit. Amen? Okay, so there we go. Bridge repair in the Spirit, prayer and confession, abiding in the Word, abiding in the body of Christ. So let's move on to some bridge repair in the soul. The first one of these is to know yourself. Get to know yourself. If you want to repair the bridges in your soul, and when we talk about the soul, remember we're talking about this life-on-life friendship. This would include all of your communication with each other, your conflict management with each other, all of those sorts of day-to-day, life-on-life things. The first step is to know yourself. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. You know, Romans 12:3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So, know yourself. It's important to know yourself because then you can understand, well, why do I react in certain situations? Why do I react to things that my bride or my husband says or does? Why do I react badly to that? Why does that bother me? And, you know, let me understand how I am. Am I an introvert? Am I an extrovert? What are my spiritual gifts? What's my personality type? You know, what's my love language? How come I she does things for me and she thinks that she's being loving to me. Why aren't I picking up what she's laying down, right? Why aren't I feeling love from her when she tells me that she loves me? Well, maybe she's loving me in a language other than my own. So I need to know myself. And most importantly, above all of those other things, is we need to examine ourselves in the light of God's word before we ever point the finger and start to look at our spouse and say, what's the matter with them? If there's a bridge repair in the soul to be done, we need to start with ourselves. Examine yourself in the light of God's word. You know, look at David. David's constantly asking God, God, examine me. Look at me. See if there is any ungodly way within me. Help me to examine my ways and to turn my feet back to your statutes, right? That needs to be where we start. We need to start by examining ourselves in the light of God's word, and then understanding ourselves and how we tick. Because believe me, it'll help you in relating to your spouse. So the second piece of bridge repair in the soul then is going to be to know, and I added something here, to know and value your spouse. 1 Corinthians 12:21, right? It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We need our spouses. They backfill our weaknesses. They can highlight our strengths. We are one another's partners, one another's helpers. We should be each other's biggest cheerleaders. We can't look at our spouse and say, what you do is of less value, or you're of less value than I am. You know, God created men and women differently in general. I know that's a huge shock to everybody. But he also created you and your spouse differently in very specific ways. He's gifted you each differently. You've got different personality style. So I can't overemphasize the importance of studying your spouse. And that goes for the men and for the women. Women need to study their husband and understand the way that men think, and men need to study their wife and understand how women think, in order for us to be able to relate well to each other. I'm just going to give you, this was interesting in a report here, about men and women, about the doubts that men and women have and how they think of themselves. Check this out, how different. The doubt that lives inside most women, this is about 80% of the people that responded to this, sounds like this. These are the questions that women, 80% of women ask themselves. Am I lovable? Am I special? Would he, my husband, would he choose me again? And so what is that insecurity asking? It's asking, am I worthy of being loved for who I am on the inside, right? On the other hand, you have men, this is about 75% of men, ask questions like this. Am I able? Am I adequate? Right? I want to be a great husband or father, businessman, whatever it happens to be, but am I? Okay? So again, men ask different questions to themselves. They have different insecurities. And if we want to repair the bridges in that friendship, we need to know and value our friend, our spouse, our lover. Okay? So knowing ourselves, knowing and valuing our spouse. And then the third one here is in bridge repair in the soul is this, to find ways again, right? Find ways to do life together again. Find ways to do life together again. If you've lost that, if you've lost your common interests and you've lost your common friendships, look for them again. Find some commonalities. Find some things that you can do together. If you can't find anything that you both absolutely love to do, well, then find one thing that he loves to do and one thing that she loves to do and do both. And the one who doesn't love to do that thing so much, don't grumble about it. Enjoy it. Enjoy spending the time with your spouse, independent of what the activity happens to be. But begin to do life together again. Find friends here in Homefront or in the church that you can go out. And this is where this kind of connects back to the spiritual, right? Connects back to that idea of abiding in the body. Having common friendships within the body is a way to rebuild the bridges in the soul. And pay attention to your emotional health, both of you. Right? Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh. Right? Is there a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress? Are you emotionally a wreck? We all know that verse, a joyful heart is good medicine. I used to quote that to my children whenever they were grumpy, which they hated. So if you've got little kids, you might not want to do that. It didn't go over real well for mine. But pay attention to that emotional health for both of you, your own and your spouse's. Be attentive to that. And when something's out of sorts, talk about it. Figure it out together. Go back to the Word. Pray for one another. Again, this all goes back to the spiritual once again. Don't get too comfortable in your relationship, in your friendship. All right? Learn new things together. Try new things together. I have some good friends. They kayak. Now that they're empty nesters, they kayak. But you could travel. You could take a dance class. Something. But don't get too comfortable in your friendship. Keep it fresh. Find ways to do life together again. Now, moving on to the body. Again, we started with the spirit, went to the soul, the friendship area. Now we're moving out into our physical selves. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. We are, now this passage is not primarily, it's talking to the church, a group of individuals who individually are stones in the temple of God. But I think that the principle is that, or part of the principle here is that our physical bodies matter. The physical matters. This is because this is the vehicle that God's Spirit is in. It's the vehicle that He's given us to do ministry. It's the vehicle that He's given us to carry out the Great Commission, which is what He's commanded us to do. So it's important. Taking care of this temple is important. And if you look back at the physical temple, which was a foreshadowing of the temple to come, which is the period that we're living in now. When the temple was in poor repair, when it had a lot of things in it that didn't belong, a lot of other gods or junk or people's, you know, stuff that they put in there that didn't belong in the temple, and the temple was in ill repair, that made God angry. And it required the priests, someone, the priests or a king, to go in and say, this needs to be cleaned up. There needs to be repairs, and we need to get out all the stuff that doesn't belong. Well, if you think about that with your body, it's the same sort of idea, right? So health and fitness is important. You know, maybe you've let yourself go. You know, you don't get any exercise, and maybe you don't enjoy exercise, but you don't get any exercise. Maybe you don't eat well. You need to take care of your health and fitness. If you need to start small, well, then start small. Take walks. Cook some better meals together. Be intentional about becoming developing some more and some healthier habits together. Again, together being the key. Taking care of the temple. If there's medical issues like insomnia or any other number of medical issues that you might have, chronic fatigue, etc., some of that's going to require an extra measure of grace on your part as a couple, particularly the spouse that's not struggling with those things, to have grace and patience with the one that is. But don't give up praying and seeking solutions together and seeking ways to improve the situation together. You know, I think Patricia struggled with insomnia for years, and it wasn't until very recently we figured out a couple of small things that we could do in her diet and sleep hygiene that were able to make all the difference in the world. So don't give up when it's a medical issue, but work through it together and have grace for one another. So care for the temple, that's a key one. Health in the soul promotes health in the body, right? I think of Third John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul, right? So, you know, that's something to pray for each other, that it may go well with us and that we may be in good health and that it may go well with our soul. Okay, so caring for the temple is important. The next thing in the physical, now this is for the guys. Okay, this is your two words, men. Woo and pursue. Don't give me the woo-hoo, right? Woo and pursue. Song of Songs 5, chapter 5, verse 2 says, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one, for my head is wet with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. The writer there, the spouse there, is wooing his bride, right? Maybe we forgot. Maybe we've gotten lazy in thinking that, well, I did woo her and pursue her. Now we're married and she's mine, right? So I can relax. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. If you want her to respond to you, and we'll get to her in just a second, but if you want her to respond to you physically, then you can't stop wooing and pursuing. All right? So, I mean, do you need ideas? If you need ideas and you're thinking, I don't know what to do, it's been a long time since I've wooed and pursued her, I don't even remember what to do, well, Google it, for crying out loud, okay? I literally tried this just before I said it. I wanted to make sure that it actually works. So if you Google ways to woo my spouse, it's going to give you all kinds of stuff. Now, you have to sift through. There's some that's not, some that's better than others, but, you know, don't use that as an excuse. Oh, I'm out of practice. I don't know what I'm doing. Do a little research. You know, Google's a fantastic thing. Date your wife. Be a gentleman. If you don't open the door for her, start opening the door for her. Do the things that you did when you were dating. Hopefully you did those things, but be a gentleman. Take care of yourself. And we talked about this with caring for the temple. But take care of yourself. You know, women are less visual than men, but that doesn't mean they're not visual at all. So, you know, take care of your physical appearance. Maintain some mystery. You know, and this is going to, you know, I always hesitate to say this because it's going to be gross, but, you know, close the bathroom door when you're in the bathroom. You don't need to go. Don't get that comfortable that you think there's no more mystery. We just leave the bathroom door open. Or, you know, guys, don't pick your nose in front of your wife, all right, or scratch yourself or whatever else. Maintain some mystery, for goodness sake. Now, the other thing I'd say is, like, learn her love language. If you don't know what it is, learn it and then practice speaking it often. Okay, so woo and pursue. That's my message for you guys. Ladies, ignore that. Okay, because now it's your turn. Women, wives, two words for you. Desire and entice. Desire and entice. Song of Songs, chapter 3, verse 4, right? She says, the wife says, scarcely had I passed them when I found him who my soul loves. I held him and would not let him go. That's beautiful. She's desired him, and she held him and wouldn't let him go, right? Remember, women, that the woo and pursue, that's the counterpart. The counterpart to woo and pursue is the desiring and enticing. Don't give up enticing your husband, you know, to tease him a little bit, to bat your eyes at him, to, you know, to entice him, as you probably did when you were first married or even when you were dating, right? You aren't the only one who needs to feel desired. I think that's a myth. You know, women think that because women struggle with, tend to, generally speaking, struggle more with things like body image and so on, that women have this desire to feel desired and men don't. Well, that's not true. Men also need to feel desired. You know, you don't want your husband to suffer from ADD. Let me explain to you what ADD is. It's not... Well, it means the same thing, attention deficit disorder, but it's a different kind. ADD in marriage for a husband is this. When you were dating, he was the center of your universe. When you got married, he was the center of your universe. All the back scratching, the massages, the loving, the kissing, all that kind of stuff, it was all for him. And then children came into the picture. And all of a sudden, these little rugrats stole all the attention, and he began to suffer from attention deficit disorder. So that's what ADD is. You don't want your husband to suffer from that, okay, in your marriage. And guys, give me an amen if you've been through this yourself. I know I have. And it sounds, you know, may sound immature, but, you know, I had to just talk to Patricia about it and tell her how I was feeling. And it sounded really immature when it came out of my mouth. But it was very helpful in the end that we were able to talk through it. And it was something that she hadn't even considered that she was doing, that she was maybe making me feel like I was neglected. So ladies, don't let your husband suffer from ADD in marriage. Now I want to read to you guys, two passages from the Song of Songs. One is going to kind of demonstrate this dance, right? The dance between wooing and pursuing this and enticing, the woman enticing, the man pursuing. And I want to show you how it goes wrong. And then I want to read another one to you for how it goes right. And then we're going to go to our table discussion. So the first one is In Song of Songs, chapter 5, verses 2 through 6. And here's what it says. She is speaking, the wife is speaking. I was asleep, but my heart was awake, a voice. My beloved was knocking. Open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my perfect one. This is him speaking. For my head is drenched with dew, my locks with the damp of the night. And here's her response in verse 3. I have taken off my dress. How can I put it on again? I've washed my feet. How can I dirty them again? So there you go. Ladies, this, here he is wooing and pursuing, and her response to him is, seriously? I'm already in my jammies. I'm already under the covers. You know, I'm ready to go to bed. You know, I took my shower. I'm not going to get out and dirty my feet on this floor again. That's her response to him. And you see how it ends up, okay? Finally, she does change her mind in verse 4, right? She says that my beloved extended his hand through the opening, and my feelings were aroused for him. So her desire is aroused. And so she arises then. It's too late. I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh, and the handles of the bolt. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and had gone. Okay? So this is how it goes wrong. This is how it goes wrong. How it goes right. Let's go backwards. We're going to go to Song of Songs, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And she is talking about a dream that she's had. On my bed, night after night, I sought him who my soul loves. I sought him, but did not find him. So there's the desire. I must arise and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I must seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but did not find him. So there's both desire and there's an enticement. She's going out to find him. The watchmen who make the rounds in the city found me, and I said, have you seen the one whom my soul loves? Scarcely had I left them when I found him whom my soul loves, and I held on to him and would not let him go. And then she says, until I had brought him to my mother's house, I brought him home and into the room, right? And so she is also, in a sense here, pursuing him, desiring him, enticing him. And so you can see this dance when it's done the way that it's supposed to be done. So ladies, desire and entice. Don't lose that for your husband. We need to feel desired too. We don't want to suffer from attention deficit disorder. Men, you need to continue to try to woo your wife and pursue your wife. Don't think that this is a done deal just because, you know, you put a ring on it. This should be part of your dance forever. And if you look at older couples who are successful, they've not lost this. They've not lost this. And so I pray for you guys that you're able to, if you have lost it, that you're able to rebuild that bridge in intimacy. So there we go. Bridge repair in the spirit, bridge repair in the soul, bridge repair in the body. Again, in the handout and online, you can get all of that information for what we covered in the slides. We have our table discussion questions that we're going to that you can look at online as well or in the slides. And I hope that these are helpful to you. Next week, we're going to wrap this up with a discussion of just a gospel-centric approach, general approach, to cultivating that intimacy in your marriage as a way of just sort of wrapping up this series next week. So you don't want to miss it. It'll be the last part of this series, Body, Soul, and Spirit, and we look forward to seeing you there. God bless you.